करोति वाचा तन्नो न ज्ञायते यत्कृपा तद्वन्दे श्रीगुरो दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम्। So welcome for the blissful Saturday. I was thinking what to name our Saturday sessions as. So one of the things came spontaneously was this. Why blissful? Because bachelors have no other job. Saturday evening is free. No tension. You take people are married. Saturday evening is the time when they go out for shopping. So my Grihastha counselees tell me that probably this is the time when we go out for shopping. We have to purchase this, purchase that. So many things. But for us, now the ones who are bachelors, free time is there. Blissfully sit and hear Krishna Katha. Chant the holy names of Lord. And have prasadam. And before that, dance also. Yes? So in this way, we can have a very, very nice, blissful weekend. If we all come together every single weekend like this. And today, we are going to take up a very, very nice topic. The savior of the whole world. Who is the savior of the whole world?
Srila
Prabhupada. Yes. So we'll discuss some aspects about Srila Prabhupada. Because we as youth should know what Prabhupada has done. So today we'll not be covering the entire life sketch of Srila Prabhupada. That's not possible. Only his childhood part we'll take and we'll discuss about childhood of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, why he holds such an important position in ISKCON? Why? You see, we go around the entire world, we'll find ISKCON Center at one or the other place. Any remote place also the devotees go, they have some center. And they're able to practice devotional service. This is what Srila Prabhupada has done. All over the world he has established embassies of Vaikuntha, embassies of spiritual world. Where you can directly associate with the Lord and His devotees just by going to that particular place. This was not the scene before Srila Prabhupada came. All the acharyas in the past, they preached wherever they were. So, if you take up any acharya for that matter in the past, you take up Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbarka Swami, or anyone for that matter, all of them preached in India. All of them. And maybe they send their disciples here and there. But mostly the preaching happened here. But when did Bhagavad Gita go out? When did this Hare Krishna Mahamantra go out? When did this Harinam Sankirtan started on the posh streets of Western countries? Especially like cities like New York and other places. How and when did it all start? Only when Srila Prabhupada went to West and he started preaching. But then Srila Prabhupada also has a very, very sweet childhood. And we'll discuss that today. And we'll also learn some of the important lessons when it comes to how a child should be raised up in the childhood. And what is the contrast that we see in this age of Kali? This is what we're trying to discuss today. So Srila Prabhupada's parents' name, maybe we can remember this, very important names, Gauramande and Rajini. What were the names?
Gauramande
and
Rajini.
So there is a title, correct? Saurabh can tell us. Yes. Maybe you can come here, I cannot before, because of the mobile I cannot see you. Yeah. And Srila Prabhupada's appearance was the next day of Janmashtami. So Srila Prabhupada appeared on the next day of Janmashtami. So next day of Janmashtami celebrated as Nandotsav. So Krishna appeared and next day Krishna's father Nanda Maharaj, he threw a party. Yes? He threw a party and he called everyone. And that party or that celebration or that festival was called as Nandotsav. And since Srila Prabhupada appeared on the day of Nandotsav, he was also called as Nandulal. And his father named him as Abhay. So his name was Abhay Deva, Abhay Charandi. Yes? So now, this appearance is very, very nice of Srila Prabhupada. Just the appearance on the auspicious day, especially on Nandotsav, tells a lot about Srila Prabhupada, that what he is going to do in future. But you see, taking birth on a very, very auspicious day is very rare.
Very rare.
So very, very few devotees get this opportunity to take birth on the auspicious days because they deserve it. Or else, no, it is seen that many, many kids take birth on Amavasya or some inauspicious days. So one of my relative, so their child was born on Amavasya or something. So they call him and they were like, no, my child is born on Amavasya, what to do? No, what can you do? The child is born, you cannot put back the child in the womb and tell you for some time. Yes. So when the Lord or his associates appear, automatically the entire atmosphere becomes very auspicious. You can imagine when Krishna appeared. Where did he appear?
Jail.
He appeared in a jail. Now jail is not an auspicious place. You can imagine how inauspicious the jail is. And when the Lord appeared, yes, it was Ashtami. And it was not very, very auspicious. But when the Lord appeared, all the stars, they all arranged themselves in a very, very, the best auspicious, what do you call it as, constellation. And the jail became very, very auspicious. All the demigods, they came down and they started offering prayers. Flowers were showered. And the entire jail was not seeming as jail. It was like a very, very beautiful temple. In fact, looking at that, looking at that, Kans Maharaj, he was a person who was very, very fearful. Very, very fearful. Yes. So here we see when a great personality appears, my Lord himself or his associates, they appear on a very, very auspicious day. And here we see Srila Prabhupada appeared on Andotsav. Now we need not go and check the calendar when we appeared. It hardly matters when we appeared. Yes. Or we don't call it as appear, we call it we took birth, right? We never knew that in whose womb we were in. Yes. Did we choose? That we entered this mother's womb or this lady's womb. No. We were forced by the nature or prakriti to enter some womb. Depending on our karma. Yes. But here Srila Prabhupada appeared in a very, very nice, wonderful family. A very nice, amazing Vaishnava family. When you come on Sunday mornings, you see, right, so many kids around here. And all the kids, since they are born in devotee family, you see how amazing they are. Firstly, they are very effulgent. They can quote very, very nice shlokas. You should see the etiquette which they follow. So when some senior enters, or when some senior is talking to them, they will stand up, they will talk to them very nicely, take blessings. In fact, for our boys, you know, we have to explicitly tell, "Arey, stand up, some senior is coming. Take blessings, talk to them properly." We will be sitting with our mobile phone. Hare Krishna. Okay. Yes. But these etiquettes are very normal when it comes to devotee family. Right from birth, they have been seeing this. Right? This is what happened to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, so we'll call him as Abhay as of now because we are discussing child pastimes. So Abhay, he would see his parents doing various devotional activities. He would see his father. Prabhupada tells this in one of the class that whenever I used to get up, I used to hear the sound of the bell, ding, ding, ding. The Prabhupada says this. And I would open my eyes and would see my father, God Mohande, worshipping the beautiful deities of Radha Krishna at home. So Prabhupada was seeing this. Every now and then he was seeing this. And when he was seeing the Radha Krishna deities being worshipped by his father, he was getting a desire that even he wants to worship the deities. So he was pestering his father, requesting, not pestering, and Prabhupada was very, very amazing. So he requested his father that I want Radha Krishna deities for myself also. Can you imagine what is the current scene in the current society? What kids see? And they open their eyes, the parents are running around to bag their dhaba or to get ready for the office. Or sometimes the fight which breaks in the morning. And since there's a huge fight, then the eyes are open and the first thing that they see is parents fighting. Most of the time, in fact, one of my Gita course students, so she had a small daughter. And for every small thing, this girl would get angry. Now I was looking at this girl and I was asking, why are you getting angry like this? So mother was standing beside, she said, she's like me. And the father is looking at me and like, absolutely correct. Yes. So in this way we see that nowadays, the sanskar what the kids get as soon as they observe their parents is very, very, very degraded. And here we see that Srila Prabhupada is getting such amazing samskar. Where samskar basically means impression on the mind. So Prabhupada is seeing at his father and he's getting inspired to worship the deities. And Gaur Mohande, father of Abhay, got him small deities of Radha Krishna. And when it was given to Abhay, now Abhay does not know how to worship. He would just sit beside his father, he would look what his father is doing. Now he sees his father taking incense and the bell. He will also take incense and bell. He will see, you know, his father worshipping with the incense, offering incense. He will also start offering incense. You see, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes. So he would observe very nicely and he would offer whatever his father would do. And Abhay became so very attached to his deities that he would spend most of the time with the deities, worshipping them, offering. In fact, it is described that whatever he would eat, first he would offer it to his beautiful deities of Radha and Krishna, and then only he would eat. One of our congregation devotees was sharing that whatever they give to their child, they will first go, in fact even biscuits, they will first go to their deities and say, you please eat, because if you don't eat, then I cannot eat. Yes? And then they will start offering Mahaprasadi during the prayers. Just imagine, just taking birth in a devotee family makes such a difference. So all the ones sitting here who are aspiring for marriage or aspiring to be grihasthas, very very important to get fixed up in bhakti. Very very important. Because that influences a lot the next generation. And here we see Prabhupada or Abhay and his younger sister Bhavatarini. Both of them would spend a lot of time worshipping the deities. A lot of time. Now, Abhay's mother, Rajni, she had a desire that, you know, he should learn, he should become a very big personality, he should become, barrister in some western countries. But then, Abhay's father was very clear what Abhay should become. Abhay's father desired that my son should become a very nice devotee. And whenever the sadhus would come home, in fact, Gaur Mohande would invite the sadhus very often, very often. And he would serve the sadhus, they would very nice prasadam and various things. And before the sadhus leave the house, he would request the sadhus that please bless my son Abhay so that he becomes a very nice servant of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. This was the prayer. Nowadays, you know, parents ask for the blessings. Please bless him so that he studies nicely. Please bless him so that he becomes a very weak person. Please bless him so that the daughter-in-law which I will get, whoever married this person, should be very nice, very obedient to me. Yes? But here, the actual prayers those are needed is that the person becomes a very nice devotee. Because it is seen, when a person becomes a nice devotee, all the other qualities come into picture. All the other qualities. In fact, it is described in one of the shlokas. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. So in this shloka, it is given that the qualities of demigods, even that manifests in a devotee. So all the good qualities will manifest in a devotee. So the goal of life is to become a devotee. So when a person becomes a devotee, everything else will manifest. But nowadays the focus is totally different. What is the focus nowadays? Tell me, what is the focus nowadays?
You should become rich.
Should become rich, yes. What else?
All materialistic things.
Like?
Have good bungalow,
have good job, have good bungalow. In fact, one of my devotee friend, he was telling. So he started chanting 16 rounds, very very sincere, very serious in bhakti. So his mother, don't you feel shame? You don't have even one girlfriend? Come on, you should have at least one. In fact, she went on to ask, are you normal? In fact, and then the father was talking, you see, his father was saying, see, at least once in a month you should have alcohol. At least one peg in a month. Can you imagine which world we are living in? Yes. So in this way, the entire culture is changing. Entire culture is changing. Unless and until we youth come together like this and hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and about various great devotees, we would not be able to understand what exactly is needed in life. Because the entire society has changed very, very drastically. And whatever the society is doing, we are expected to do. Parents would say that, do this. In fact, one of my friends was joining Brahmachari Ashram. is planning to quit his job and join Brahmacharya Ashram. So his mother was saying, see, if you join Brahmacharya Ashram, what could I tell this? Then he said, see, if I would have ran with some girl, that would have been more degraded. Now joining Brahmacharya Ashram is much glorious. So she said, no. If you would have ran with some girl, I had something to explain. Yes, but now you're becoming a monk. What will I explain? So in this way, you see that the mentality of people has got degraded. And it's our responsibility as youth to understand what exactly is needed in life. And propagate that as much as possible to people who are connected to us. If we can do that, at least we can save few people over there who are connected to us. Yes? Especially the ones whom we'll be calling as family members. They have to be saved. Very, very important. And here you see that Prabhupada would enjoy like anything in his childhood. And what was his enjoyment? Not playing. Playing, etc., is for other people, other kids. I guess it's Chanakya Pandit or Shankaracharya. Either of them quotes this. What is that shloka? Balyavastha krida sakta, taruna avastha taruni asakta, vriddha avastha chinta sakta. So he's giving three categories of people and he's saying, then in balyavastha, the time is spent playing. Taruna avastha taruni asakta. When a person becomes youth, he starts searching for a partner. Taruni asakta. He becomes asakt in taruni. And then towards the end, in the old age, chinta sakta. The person becomes very, very tense. What will happen next? What will happen next? So here we see that every kid, you know, any kid you take up, they will be very, very interested to play. But here Prabhupada had a different interest altogether. What was his interest? To play Vedanga. Gaur Bonde got a teacher and he gave Mridanga to Abhay. I was hearing about this wonderful pastime. Then Mridanga was much bigger than the size of Abhay. He was not able to reach the either side of Mridanga. He goes on one side, this hand will not reach. Yes? And the teacher was called and Gaur Bonde requested the teacher, please teach Abhay how to play Mridanga. And Abhay became very, very attached to playing Mridanga. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada, when he was in West, and when the first Mridanga came from India, so you can imagine, the ISKCON is established, ISKCON, the first ISKCON center, and then he has got his disciples, all are white-skinned disciples, yes? And then he orders a Mridanga from India, the first Mridanga comes, and Prabhupada sees the Mridanga, and he's in such a great ecstasy. It is described that he saw the Mridanga, he told, get that Mridanga. And then he took a very, very nice cloth, a dhoti, and he wrapped it around, and he was so blissful and he started playing. So this Mridanga which he learned in his childhood, he played all around the world. All around the world. And when he used to play Mridanga, Srila Prabhupada would play Mridanga, when he used to play Kartal, when he would sing. Even people who are not connected to bhakti, even people who are not practicing bhakti would go in ecstasy and start dancing. Srila Prabhupada, once he sat in a park called Tompkins Square Park. Yes? He sat there and he started doing kirtan. So this was the first time that in a park kirtan is going on. All his disciples were there, they were feeling very embarrassed. What is Prabhupada doing? We could have done inside a room. Now why are we sitting here in the park and doing it? But when the kirtan started growing very nicely, various people started coming with their instruments and they all started playing, they all started dancing. This is the power of Srila Prabhupada's. The playing of the instruments or singing, that's the purity. And all this was learned in childhood. And who taught this? Gaur Bonde. Gaur Bonde got a teacher. And then Prabhupada's other games would be this. Please hear this very carefully. We would be very jealous to hear all this because we didn't do all this. Prabhupada was very much attached to Rath Yatra. To such an extent that he would go to railway station, it was described that he would go to railway station and every time keep checking. Every time keep checking which train goes to Jagannath Puri. In fact, a few of the Prabhupada disciples were sharing that Prabhupada planned to run to Jagannath Puri. Catch any train and run to Jagannath Puri. The train which goes to Jagannath Puri. So much of attachment. In fact, I never knew what is Jagannath Puri in my childhood. At least the ones who are from Bharat might be knowing. That, or the ones who are from Orissa, West Bengal, they might be knowing very well. And then Prabhupada desired that even he should do Jagannath Rath Yatra. He was small. He's just a few years old. And he's telling his father, I want a Rath. Now other kids would say what they want. I want a car. Remote control car.
Yes.
What else? What else?
PlayStation.
Yeah, that is very famous. PS. PlayStation. PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4. Now it is 5 growing one, if I'm not wrong. Yes. PlayStation 5. And they would sit at one place and just not. You cannot disturb them at all. Even if there is a bomb blast just besides them, they'll be least bothered. They're busy playing. Whenever I go to some Virastha's house, so parents literally pester them. I say Hare Krishna at least. They're busy with mobile or busy with PlayStation. So in this way, we see that Prabhupada was designing something else, and they were searching in the market for the Ratna. It was pretty costly. It is described as pretty costly. God only they couldn't afford. But Prabhupada was insisting, Abhay was insisting that I want Rath. And now there's an old lady who was passing by, and then she was asking, what this boy wants? Why is he yelling out like this? Why is he crying out like this? And then God only said that he wants a Rath. Now this old lady was very, very astonished. The small kids would ask things here and there for toys, and this boy is asking Rath. She said, I have Rath, come to my place. Now, right, and God one day, both of them went to the house of that old lady. She offered a old Rath. Now, Abhay was very happy. They got the Rath home. Now, right from childhood, it is described that Abhay was very, very talented. So, he and his father, both of them, they fixed some 12 columns because it was old. So, they fixed some 12 columns. They put a nice canopy at the top, and the Rath was ready for the Rath Yatra. Abhay, Ashla Prabhupada, in such a young age, he organized a Rath Yatra. And this was a full-fledged Rath Yatra. He told all the kids what they're supposed to do. See, whenever we organize some festival, we have a service chart. Which devotee will be doing what? That comes from Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was doing this. Prabhupada told every kid, you'll be doing this, you'll be doing this, you'll be doing this. And he himself was a lead singer and lead Rudanga player. And this Rath was pulled on the roads, in the place where they were living. And everyone were relishing this particular Rath Yatra, seeing all the small kids participating and organizing. And just imagine, Prabhupada did this first Rath Yatra in his childhood. And now, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, every single place, all over the world, we have Rath Yatra. I saw one photo, multiple photos of Rath Yatra. One of them was this, Rath was pulled, and all over snow is there. On the road snow is there, and all over the trees are covered in snow, and the Rath is pulled. Can you imagine? Yes? I'm talking about Western countries. One pic which I saw was Rath is pulled between mosques. This was in Pakistan. And all the females wearing burqa are standing and looking at the Rath. And our devotees in dhoti, kurta, tilak, they're dancing in front of the Rath and distributing books. So in this way, we see that so many places, the places which we cannot imagine, even there Rath Yatra is happening. This is what Srila Prabhupada did. So when Prabhupada was doing this Rath Yatra in his childhood, it was actually an indication that this person is going to do something great. In fact, when Prabhupada appeared, there was a horoscope which was made. So that horoscope said, at the age of 70, this person will cross the ocean and establish 108 temples. This prophecy is already given. In one of the Puranas, this reference comes that Ganga, now she's speaking to the Lord, and this is just before the Lord is departing to Goloka Vrindavan. He's leaving the earthly planet and going back to Goloka. So there Ganga is praying to Lord that now you're departing back, now Kaliyuga is going to come and many, many sinful people are going to come. And they will take bath in us and we will become contaminated. Who will purify us? Yes. So at that time, the Lord is saying that one very great personality will come who will spread the holy name all around the world and he will purify many, many, many people. Yes. And that was none other than His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this is the potency of Srila Prabhupada. Right from his childhood, he's showing various divine qualities, various divine qualities. And look at Gaur Mohandev, the way he was bringing up his child. It is described that Gaur Mohandev would not chastise Prabhupada, would not chastise Abhay. In fact, before scolding Abhay, he would say, see, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father Jagannath Mishra scolded him. Now I'll be scolding you. Please forgive me if you feel bad. And then he starts scolding. This was the samskara that was given. That was samskara, that was good. So in this way, Abhay spent lot of his childhood doing spiritual activities. And right from childhood, he proved that he is going to be a divine personality in future. Now, when he started going to college, let's talk about his college life, how it was. Now, like every other parent, even Gaurav, they thought, let me give some minimum education at least. He started going to college. Now, this was the British rule that was going on. Okay. Now, British rule, at that time, they were trying to degrade the Indian culture. They established various English colleges. And one of them was Scottish Church College. And Prabhupada was given admission there, and he started going to that college. Now, what happened is, Prabhupada became busy in his college life. And to such an extent that he was not able to worship his deities. You remember the deity Radha Krishna? Yes, which he used to worship in the childhood every day. He was not able to worship. Now, what happened is, one night, Radha Krishna deities came in the dream of Abhay. And they said, why have you stopped worshipping us? We are getting suffocated in this box in which you have kept. Start worshipping us back. And Prabhupada started feeling so guilty. Prabhupada started feeling, I took a vow that I worship them every single day, but now I'm not able to worship. And he resumed back his worship. Again, he started worshipping every single day. Now, since this British rule was going on, and the independence movement started, Mahatma Gandhi, he was leading this movement. And we had Subhash Chandra Bose there. He was there in the same college as Prabhupada was, or Abhay was. And literally, Abhay was a very, very fired up freedom fighter, you can say. Or the political activist. He was about to become a very nice activist in this freedom fighting movement. Now, in this, we see that Srila Prabhupada Abhay, when he studied in the college, at that time only he was married. So this was there before, marrying in the childhood itself. Now later, now it has become extinct, obviously. Some parts of Rajasthan still, I think they have this child marriage. Sometimes I think that was really nice. What do you say? Child marriage was nice now. No? Yes? Because all the options were closed in the childhood itself. Right from childhood, they would keep saying that she is your wife. Right from childhood, she is your wife, she is your wife. And now, since he has already got married, now when he goes, when he is growing up and things like that, now you cannot have an affair with anyone. He is saying, already I am married, why should I see it any other girl now? Yes. So there was no illicit time. Now it is so abominable. You take up any youth, I don't want to ask this question, it will be a very shameful question. You will take up any youth and ask them that, I should ask in another way. So if you ask in public, the youth are sitting and you ask in public, is there anyone who has not seen an abominable video on YouTube or on net? No hand will be raised. Yes? Is there anyone who has not seen a girl with a lusty desire? No answer to this. Yes. Because that is our condition. That is our condition, unfortunately. Because right from childhood, we have not been given that spiritual education, which is very, very important. Yes. In Vedic culture, this was the scene where the small kids, right from the age of 5, they would join Gurukul. So now, age of 5, you can imagine how innocent the kids are. Nowadays, they're getting spoiled even at that time because of the mobile phones. That's a different story. But at the age of 5, they would join Gurukul, and in the Gurukul, they would be taught various things. And especially, how to remain a celibate till the age of 25. And at the age of 26, they will get married and so on and so forth. Yes? So they will be taught various principles of opposite belief. But now, unfortunately, we are not getting that education. The only way we get this education is when we come together like this and discuss Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or about great devotees like Shri Prabhupada. This is a very, very important thing that we have to understand, that how important is meeting like this, coming together and discussing. Because we have not got all this in our childhood. Only when we learn now, we'll be able to implement in our life. Or it's impossible. Yes? Now, Abhay, Right from his college time, he was a very, very great leader, it seems. It is described very nicely by one of his friends. Let me search what was the name of his friend. Narendranath would say this, that Abhay was a very nice leader. In fact, it is described, you know, like whatever you say, all the people over there under him, they will do. This was the nice leadership quality what Abhay had in his childhood itself, in his college time. Now, during his college, he studied very nicely. He got the degree also. But at that time, Gandhi started this non-cooperation movement. Yes? So where they would start boycotting everything that was foreign. So now the degree what Abhay got, even that was foreign, because that was from a Scottish church college, English college. Abhay boycotted that. He didn't accept the degree. It was anyone not accepting the degree was a very, very great thing at that time, because the entire movement was going on like that. But now the problem was, he did not have a degree, who will give him a job? But somehow, since his father was a very nice businessman and he had a lot of connection, so he got a job for Abhay under Bose. There was a personality called Bose in his laboratory. So Prabhupada or Abhay started working there in that laboratory. Now, one fine day, his friend Narendranath, he said, see, a very great saint has come here to this place. Let's go and meet him. Now, Abhay had seen many, many saints coming to his house, as I already described. His father would invite many, many people at home. Sometimes the saints would be really bona fide saints, and sometimes they would be really dungy. So, Abhay had seen various classes of saints. So, he said, right from childhood, I've been seeing what great about this saint. And he was not very interested. But Narendranath, he was thinking, if Abhay is convinced about this particular saint, then he can convince everyone in his group. So it's very nice if I can take him to the saint. And this is the first time where Abhay is going to meet a spiritual master. What is the name of Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master?
Bhakti
Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur. The second photo there. After Prabhupada. Yes? Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur. Now Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur was such a great personality. He was called as Lion Guru, Asimha Guru. He would literally roar. And any person whom he would see is deviating from the path of bhakti or teaching something nonsense, he would literally catch the collar and start slapping. With words and with hands also. Yes. Literally, Lion Guru, literally Simha Guru. The impersonalists, the Mayavadis, when they would see Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur coming on the same path, they would take a U-turn and go back. Yes. This normally happens with I've heard with various people here also. The ones who come to our sessions suddenly stop coming. Yes. When they look at us, they take a U-turn and go somewhere. Many times I've seen this. Yes. Arre mere abhi yaar, U-turn le lo. Isko bhi sunayega baat tumhe. Yes. So we are in parampara. We are in parampara. So such a great personality he was. And he was strongly preaching. Now, Narendranath took Abhay to meet this great saint. Now, when he was taken to this great saint, Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur, there's a discussion going on in the room. Now, Abhay came, Narendranath came. So, the samskaras were very clear, right from childhood. The samskara that was given to Abhay was, as soon as you see a saint, you pay obeisance. So, they entered the room, they paid obeisance. Now, Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur, he looked at these two young boys. And without talking, now these two boys have not settled. They are searching for a place, they are sitting, and they are trying to come to their senses to understand what is going on here. Before they could settle, Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur gave them an instruction. You are educated boys. You should go to West and preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the message of love of God in English language in the Western countries. Now, what are you thinking? Just imagine, Gita course first session, and the speaker is sitting here, and then he says, all of you all who are sitting here should go out and start preaching the message of Gita. How do you feel? Maybe from next session the attendance will be zero. Yes? Only when you understand something about Gita, when you understand something about the person who is speaking, And how the genuine the person is, then you have some faith, right? You have faith in the words of the person. Here, in the first instance, this instruction was given. Now see, Abhay was a very, very amazing personality when it comes to speech also. It is described that when he starts debating, no one can defeat him. Now there was a debate that was going to start. Now Abhay, he had a very nice argument, which he is putting forward. He said, see now, the movement that is going on is fighting against the Britishers. We are ruled by the Britishers, and now it's not the right time to preach the message of Bhagavad Gita. Because we are a dependent country. We are under the control of Britishers. First we have to come out of that, we have to become independent. And then we can start preaching this message of Gita. Now look at the reply of Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur replies that bhakti is not dependent on anyone. And bhakti is not dependent on any change in Indian politics. And then he also said that this is the topmost thing that has to be given. That is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Because this is what people are lacking and so they are suffering. This is very clear that the real independence, if you properly understand what is real independence. What is real independence? You have attended so many sessions. Why should I ask? Yes, what is real independence?
Freedom from the cycle of
birth and death. Freedom from cycle of birth and death. That is real independence. So 1947 we got independence. But tell me that are people satisfied even now? You start talking about politics. The first thing that people would start blaspheming all the politicians. You know his actor, how is he? And then go on and on and on. No one is satisfied. Then this way we see that it hardly matters what is the current situation. Sometimes people say that, especially in the youth, they say that we should get settled and then we'll talk about bhakti. Very, very common dialogue this is. I don't know how many of you have told that you have started chanting Hare Krishna. The day you sit in front of your parents and start chanting on the beach, they'll get a heart attack or something. One of my friends in the college, it was final year, he was going through some problem, so we had a nice discussion and he was convinced that you should chant Hare Krishna mantra. He started chanting. Now we were not staying in hostel, we were staying in our homes. So he went with a bead bag to his home. And then he started chanting in front of his parents. You will not believe, his father got admitted. I had to go and talk to his father. Don't worry, the blood pressure increased to such an extent, seeing his dad chanting on the beach, that he was admitted. Literally, I had to go and then talk to his father, that don't worry, nothing will happen, why are you thinking? Then he's like, nahi, baat nahi kar sakte na, abhi kyun karna hai isko, ye sab. Then literally we had a long talk and then he was like, haan, theek hai, kar sakta hai. But then there was a restriction that was put, only chant the speech. I said, okay, do whatever, but chant. Yes. So nowadays it's very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. There are a few of my counselees also. They hide and chant. So some of them were staying at home. This was during the college time. They would tell that whenever they would go home, they would get up early in the morning. Early in the morning at 2 o'clock and things like that. And chant from 2 to 4 and sleep. So that the parents will not get to know that my child was chanting. Yes. In fact, there have been instances where parents have taken away the beads and bead bags, saying that yes, I've already come. Kya sadhu ban jayega tu? No. I sometimes really wonder, parents have got so much confidence on their kids, I tell you. Yes. They think that their kid is the only one who is very, very pure. And he is the candidate to become a monk or a sannyasi or a sadhu. Yes. They don't know what nonsense they are doing in college. One of my friends, again, who was coming to the sessions and it was very nice. So he left alcohol. Okay. And at the same time, he left the knowledge also with that. And he started chanting 16 rounds every single day. And his parents became so worried that he has left non-veg. And he started thinking, "Arey, nahi, ye toh ghar chhodke chala jayega, nahi, isko ye sab nahi karna chahiye." They brainwashed him like anything. That person, he left doing bhakti. 16 rounds became zero. All glories to these parents. All glories. And now again he has taken up same, he started drinking alcohol, I also know. Again he started drinking alcohol. Yes. Now parents will have tough time now. Now they have to send him to rehabilitation center and this and that. This will come. But the important aspect that we have to understand is that this particular aspect of doing bhakti, there is no limitation of time. We have been discussing this, I think so many sessions we have been discussing. But this discussion is needed again and again so that we are convinced that there is no limit to practicing of bhakti. Sometimes parents would say this, if you chant more, I mean if you start chanting 16 rounds in front of them, see, bhakti should be done, but it should be done in limit. My parents would say this very often, very often. And various students, they say this, that probably my parents are saying this, that bhakti should be done in limit. Tell me, what is the limit? What is the limit to bhakti? Any limit? What limit can we set? And even if you're setting some limit, on what basis are we setting limit? These parents, you know, they would set limit, or relatives, or even people around, they would set limit based on what they are doing. Correct? We are doing this much, you can also do this much, why you bring more? Yes? Unless and until we are not convinced that this is the right time to practice bhakti, there is no specific time to practice bhakti, we will not be able to take it up very, very seriously. Yes? As soon as we hear some nonsensical argument, you know, people will give up doing bhakti. And here, this was the argument that was given by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, saying that bhakti cannot wait, the message of Gita cannot wait for change in the political situations of India. And then we understood what is real independence. And for the first time, Prabhupada said, for the first time, I was defeated, but I was feeling very blissful in the heart. And that is the time where Srila Prabhupada, or Abhay, accepted Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as a spiritual master within his heart. And he started meditating on his instruction of his spiritual master that go to West and preach in the English language this message of Gita. He was meditating throughout. This was a turning point in Prabhupada's life. This was a turning point in Abhay Charan's life where he was going to become a political activist. Now he's going to become a spiritual activist. A complete change. He started meditating on the instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This meditation is very important. Very, very important. See, when we hear the class, it's not about hearing from one ear and giving it from other. Yes? Hearing it and meditating on how to apply that in our life. There are three stages of hearing. Please note it down. Shravanam. Shravanam means hearing. Okay? Now we'll be hearing various things. Philosophical points. We'll be hearing about how to progress on the path of bhakti. All these things we'll be hearing. Yes? So that is Shravanam. Next is Mananam. Mananam basically means meditating on how can I apply this in my life. Now most of the time what happens? Our classes like this. I have prasada for it. Yes? But the important aspect is after the class actually starts our activity. And that is mananam, or meditation, on the points that we have learned. So when we sit like this in the class, the important aspect is we make some notes. Whatever points we feel are very, very important, we start writing those. Either we note it down in a book or you know, we type it in whatever, we have so many apps now. It's very, very important. We need not write the entire class, it will be difficult. It will become transcription. But write down some important points which you really feel that can be applied in my life. And start meditating on that and start reading it. Yes? So this is very important. When we sit together like this and discuss some philosophical point, we write it down and then during prasadam, we start discussing. Prabhu, what did you like in the class? I like this point. And then you share, I like this particular point. This particular point was very nice. Now, I heard before also, this comes in this particular chapter of Gita or whatever. You start linking like that and you'll see that how nicely your knowledge of spirituality, your knowledge of bhakti will deepen. And the philosophical point that you're discussing will become very, very strong. Right? And then there's a second stage, mananam. Third stage is called nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam means implementing that in one's life. Abhi sun liya, manan kar liya uspe. Next is what? You have to implement that in our life. See, unless and until we don't implement in our life, we cannot progress in bhakti. We cannot progress at all. We will hear the class and then we say, ah, wo point achha tha, wo joke achha tha. No? And then one person, I told you, right? Now, Gita course, initially you would come to our classes. I was asking, what did you like in the class? He said that I'm a corporate trainer. I'm a corporate trainer. I like the way you handle the entire crowd. And I'm going, I'm speaking Bhagavad Gita, this person is. And then he was telling me that. Anytime you feel you can come, you can be a very good placement, a very good corporate trainer. I was thinking a job छोड़ के मेरे बैठा हूँ गीता सिखाने के लिए, ये बोल रहा है please कमाई कीजिए job. Yes. So when he's sitting here, the goal should be clear. Why are we sitting here? Not to observe that how the speaker is speaking, how nicely he's cracking jokes, etc., etc. What content he's speaking is very important, and that content has to be applied in life. I've been telling right from the day one that we have to chant every single day. I'll not ask this question that how many of you are chanting every single day, because if someone does not raise the hand, then I'll be hurt. So chanting every single day is must. Yes. Now, how many times have you repeated this? And sometimes people take it and all that. ठीक है, बोलिए. बंदा बोल रहा है, बोलने दो इसको. फिर उसका जॉब है बोलना. Yes. So this point is very important. As soon as we hear, we apply immediately. And people who are interested to attain Krishna this very lifetime and break the cycle of birth and death in this very lifetime, they take the instructions very seriously. Yes. Others will take it lightly. हाँ, ठीक है. Installment में करेंगे, next life थोड़ा installment में करेंगे. Yes. But the ones who are serious on the path of bhakti, who have understood the philosophy of bhakti, understood the philosophy of Gita, and who are really aiming to break the cycle of birth and death in this very lifetime, will take every single point from the class very, very seriously, and they'll implement. And here we see that Abhay, when he accepted Saraswati Thakur as a spiritual master in the heart, he would hear with rapt attention. Literally with that attention. Every single point that is spoken. 1992, Abhay met his spiritual master. 1992. Now after that, various things happened in Abhay's life, where he shifted to Allahabad and he took the role of a distributor, because he was doing the business as a pharmacist. Yes, a distribution of medicine. So he became a distributor of North India. So he shifted to Allahabad, near Prayag, and there he started serving in a place called Gaudiyamut. Gaudiyamut is an organization that is established by Prabhupada's guru, Saraswati Thakur. So it was pretty close to his house, so he'd go every evening, he would serve there very nicely, and he would support him financially also. So like this it was going on. And once he went to Vrindavan, and this was the Yatra of Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur. So in this Yatra, there's an option given to all the audience. Option was that either you can go to take darshan of various temples or parikrama, or you can sit in the class and hear the class. Many people got up and they went for taking darshan of the temples. And Prabhupada and few other very serious devotees sat and they started hearing Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur speaking. And now when Saraswati Thakur would speak, he would not crack jokes here and there and he would not make it simple and things like that. He would speak the philosophy straight. Sometimes it would be a big bouncer. It is described that Saraswati Thakur's literatures, what he has written, hardly people could understand it since. Once, Saraswati Thakur's disciples, they took some books for distribution. And then the entire day is loud like anything. And they came back and they told Saraswati Thakur that we couldn't distribute even a single book. And Saraswati Thakur smiled and said, I know no one can understand the books. Yes. In that way, he would give class also. But Prabhupada was sitting and hearing with rapt attention. Rapt attention. See, when you're sitting in the class, it's not about, ha, chalo, blissful Saturday. That is the title, blissful Saturday. So let's go and enjoy and come back. We are not here to enjoy the class. Yes. We are not here to come and do some time pass and go. Because Saturday evening, kuch nahi karne ko. Like some people have this. See, my friends go out to bar, they go out to pub. My parents are told not to go. But even if I want to go, I don't have money. Yes. Or I don't have interest. Abhi kuch nahi karne ko, chalo, response karne jaate hain, thoda class sun lete hain. That is not the mood. Yes. It's not for time pass we come here. There's a great deal when we come here. And what is that? We are here to transform our life. That is the important aspect that we have to understand. When we come here for a youth class, we are here for transformation, transformation of heart. So when we are sitting in the class, it should be rapt attention that we hear every single point that is spoken by the speaker. Rapt attention. Obviously the mind will take here and there. Yes. Again, I want to ask, how many of us went out of this room and came back again? Because almost I think all the hands will be up. Yes. We went out to maybe to the terrace to the prasadam hall to see what prasadam is there today. Yes. And then there's a calculation. Now he said that class will get over at 7:30, and after that will be kirtan. Now after going to my hostel or my PG, I would do this particular thing, this particular thing. I have to talk to my parents also, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
All this planning will be there. The mind is ready to trick us all the time. But a sincere spiritual practitioner or aspirant is the one who, even when the mind is taken here and there, he pulls the mind back saying, no, this is important for me. Let me hear. Yes. With that rapt attention, the person should hear, make notes and revise and see which can be implemented now. Immediately we have to implement. Why immediately you have to implement what we have heard? Tell me.
Not will forget.
Yeah, will forget. Okay. Forgetting is like very, very easy. Yes. Sometimes it becomes very difficult for me to gather some guts or confidence and ask this question from the past class, or previous class. That what did we discuss in the previous class? Yes. Sometimes people talk something vague out of the out of context, especially college students. Oh, I have a tough time. Nowadays I've stopped asking them what did we discuss in the past or previous class. I have only started. We discussed this particular point, this, and still there will be a question mark on the face. Really? We discussed this? Yes. At least I have a nice time with you all. Yes, corporate. Since we are working and since we are getting nice meetings for a year and there from the office, from the boss, from the parents and relatives and whatnot. Yes. And since all the meetings we have got, and then we sit for Gita class, we are like, TV. No, I want to hear, I want to implement. But when it comes to students, ठीक है पूरी लाइफ बची है करने के लिए स्टिल वी आर थर्ड ईयर और फाइव ईयर वॉट एवर विद दैट मोर दिस इट्स इट कम्स वेरी डिफिकल्ट यस वी विल फॉरगेट नो वॉट एवर वी हियर वी माइट फॉरगेट सो वी हैव टू इंप्लीमेंट इमीडिएटली व्हाट एल्स
गिविंग
मोर इफेक्टिव यू रिमेंबर इन आवर चाइल्डहुड यू वर टोल्ड व्हाट एवर यू लर्न इन द क्लास इन द स्कूल कम बैक एंड रिवाइज व्हेन यू रिवाइज इट विल बी वेरी strongly fit in the head. I should never do that. But I still hear this, my mother telling again and again. It didn't make sense. We can implement it very properly. What else?
To make a regular habit.
Huh? To make it regular habit, okay. Yes. Regular habit. What else? One of my favorite points. What is one of my favorite points which I keep discussing very often?
Human life last chance.
Yes, that is there. But along with that, yes, we also keep discussing this, right? We don't know what is going to happen next moment. How can we postpone things? Yes. So what we have to implement immediately. So if you're chanting one or two rounds, we have to literally increase it. You have to come to 4, 8, 16. Sometimes people say, "Okay, we'll do it next month. Next month, after 3 months, I'll do 6 months, I'll do." It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work. Immediately, it has to be implemented. Immediately. See, when it comes to reading scriptures, also, yes. Now we have been attending the class for so long. Now it's our duty to go and take some book and start reading every single day, at least 2-3 pages a day, isn't it? Yes. So now sometimes people say this, that on Saturday our energy level is very high. And then it starts decreasing. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday we think, should we go for the class tomorrow or not? Yes. And when the message is posted in the group, hardly some replies will come. I'm coming or I'm not coming. Yes. So how can we maintain that enthusiasm throughout the week is by reading and hearing. All of you all should make sure that you contact your mentors and ask them to send you some spiritual lectures, proper lectures. And ask them which books to read. And immediately start reading the books. One of the books which I would recommend is Science of Self-Realization. It's available in the bookstore. At least 2-3 pages a day. And you'll see you'll start reading. At least 2-3 pages a day. Yes? And every single day, at least this crowd which is sitting in front of me, you should chant 4 rounds. No question of chanting less than that. At least 4 rounds. Yes? And then when it comes to hearing lectures, yeah, we can hear 15 to 20 minutes at least. And then rest. Once you start doing this, rest we have to find out. Yes, how to progress from the class what we hear. And here we see that Prabhupada would hear with rapt attention. Everything he would hear with rapt attention. Everyone left. And Saraswati Thakur is speaking and speaking and speaking. Hours together he is speaking. Yes. And slowly, slowly people are leaving. All the guests are leaving and some other people are leaving. Finally, there were only few people sitting. Many sannyasis and just one person whose name was Abhaycharan. And then this was the meeting that happened. Now Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came to Allahabad after a couple of months. He came to this Gaudiya Math where Prabhupada was serving every evening. And then the personality was taking care of that particular place. Aturanand Brahmachari. He introduced Abhaycharan to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, saying, he's a very, very nice Grihastha devotee. He comes in the evening, he plays Mridanga very nicely, he sings very nicely, he's financially supporting the center, he's a very nice personality. And when Saraswati Thakur looked at Abhay, he could immediately recognize, yes, I know him. He was the one who was sitting in my class in Vrindavan and hearing me with rapt attention. So here, we understand that Saraswati Thakur was okay, pleased with all the other activities what Abhay was doing. But he was very much pleased in the way Abhay was hearing the classes with rapt attention. So rapt attention is very, very important when we hear any class. Bhale kitna bhi boring ho. Yes? Sometimes we see that some speakers are very, it's a plain chalta rehta. Now it goes on and on and on and on. But hardly matters. We are not here to see how good the speaker is speaking. Correct? We are here to see what the content the speaker is speaking. And a sincere student hearing with rapt attention, making notes, and hearing with a desire that yes, now he is going to speak something which is very, very important for my life. When that desire is there in the heart, that this will help me to transform my life, then the person can be, you know, very, very effective in the class. Yes? So this way, Abhay, you know, having this rapt attention and desiring that to take initiation, Diksha from Saraswati Thakur. Finally, Saraswati Thakur agreed to give Diksha and Abhay got officially, anyways, he accepted in the heart that he is my spiritual master. But officially, he accepted, or officially, Saraswati Thakur accepted him as his disciple. So, in this way, we see that how amazingly Srila Prabhupada would take every single word of his spiritual master very, very seriously. What was the first instruction that was given by his spiritual master in the first meeting?
Go to West and
preach in English language. This was the instruction given. Now Abhay was meditating on this. Every now and then he was meditating. Abhay Charan or Bhakti Vedanta. He had got the title of Bhakti Vedanta also at that time. So now this was another meeting in Vrindavan again, in a place called Radhakam, where he met his spiritual master again. And there's another instruction that was given. And you know what was the instruction now? The instruction was, whenever you get money, print books. This was the second instruction that was given. Now, Abhay Charan or Srila Prabhupada was meditating a lot on this particular instruction. It went on to such an extent that when he shifted from Allahabad to Vrindavan after some time, he started writing more or less back to Godhead. Even now we have got back to Godhead magazines available. It's a monthly magazine which comes. And amazing articles are there. So initially, Prabhupada would do everything. Let me tell you all what Prabhupada would do. First, Prabhupada would write himself. Second, Prabhupada would edit himself. Prabhupada would proofread himself. Prabhupada would come to Delhi. From Vrindavan, he'd come to Delhi. Find a sponsor who would sponsor his printing. Someone has to sponsor, right? He didn't have any money. Yes? And then he would search for a sponsor. Then he'll take that money, go buy some papers, then go to the person who's printing, a printing press, go there, give the papers, give the content, and then you get it printed, yes? And then he himself would go in the hot sunny weather of Delhi and he would go and distribute himself. Can you imagine what Prabhupada was doing? And at that time, Prabhupada was not having much money. Whatever he would have, since he got the instruction from his spiritual master, what was the instruction?
Print books.
Whenever you get money? So whatever money he had, he would print books. As of now, it was not a book, it was magazine. So, let me tell you how Prabhupada would save money. Sometimes, Prabhupada would start in Vrindavan early morning. He has not taken breakfast. He was very, very hungry. But now he is thinking that, I cannot spend money for breakfast anymore. Yes? He would go to the printing press, And you will be sitting there waiting, you know, for the rice to get printed. And sometimes when the person, the owner of the place would ask, Swamiji, have you taken something for the breakfast? Would you like to have something? The Prabhupada wholeheartedly, you know, would accept because he would be so hungry, so hungry. In fact, there have been times where Prabhupada is distributing the Bhaktivedanta magazines, yes, and he has fainted on the road distributing Bhaktivedanta magazines. There was one time where a cow came and hit Srila Prabhupada and he fell down on the road. Yes, with all these things Prabhupada would do. Why? He wanted to execute the instruction of his spiritual master. Can you see the dedication, what he had? This dedication should be there in every student. This dedication. That my spiritual master has given this instruction and I have to implement that. Come watch me. Look at this. He was doing everything. He was the person who was getting sponsors. He was the one who was writing, proofreading, editing, going and getting printed, distributing. Yes? This was like really crazy. Really crazy. And it went on and on and on. Once, one personality, you know, he just spoke to Prabhupada and he said, that okay, you're printing magazines, but people don't take magazines seriously. You start printing books. Yes, you start printing books. And this was almost like Prabhupada getting, or directly the Lord himself speaking to that person, or his spiritual master speaking to that person. And Prabhupada took this very, very seriously. And then he started writing books. When he started writing books, the entire scene again changed. There's again another turning point. It was a turning point not only for Srila Prabhupada, it was a turning point for the entire world. Which something great was going to happen now. Something very, very great. Where the instruction of a spiritual master, what was the instruction? Go to West and preach. This instruction was going to manifest very, very soon. And this we will be seeing in the next class. Next Saturday, we will see that how Srila Prabhupada's endeavor of writing books and meditating on this instruction of the spiritual master that go to West and preach, how all this will manifest and what hardships did Prabhupada take to give all those books which are lying there in the gift shop. What hardships did he take and what hardships it took for Prabhupada to establish the center or establish this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And it will be very humorous also. There's so many things which we'll learn in this particular thing. Yes, we'll see this in the next class. So, any doubts? It need not be from this class. Any doubts from in general? If no doubts, then we can have reflections. Reflection means what did you take from this class? Or anything that you could link with your current situation. Yes.
Doubt.
Yes.
So when we talk about the salary, bhakti, and doing the devotional, so when we go out, we look like an outdated person. Like so-called people are there, and we look. So how to tackle this? Like how to be competitive with them?
In terms of what? In office, you're saying?
Or not in office. Like outside. How to match with them? Like if we follow the devotional life and doing the bhakti and all. So, comparing to them, for them, they are outdated. So, at a time, how to be like, match the resonance of the...
You understood what his question is?
Yes.
So, when you're practicing bhakti, people might consider us as out of fashion, outdated. Obviously, you wear dhoti kurta, go out, what people will say. I was coming in auto from one place, from one of our bases. So one person was sitting with me, so the auto driver was asking, my student, asking, who is this Babaji who is sitting with you? obviously I had covered my head and I was standing. So he was asking later. Yes, no, that is true, because even when we walk here in Dhoti Kurta, people literally scan us from top to bottom. What is this person wearing? This is a age where we have to wear tight jeans even if it is uncomfortable. Yes, tight t-shirts and slim shirts or whatever. This is the fashion that is going on. And in that we wear dhoti kurta and go tilak and shikha. Sometimes people ask, what is this antenna lying behind? So it's very difficult for people to connect with us. Very difficult. So, and at times they might consider us as outdated, out of fashion, or whatever. But then, if we are convinced that what we are doing is absolutely correct, what we are doing is bona fide, what we are doing is authentic, and this will help me to perfect my life, we will not be affected by that. Because see, one thing we have to understand as devotees is, we are not here in this world to prove to anyone what we are. Are we here to prove to anyone? Yes, are we here to go and... is it that we are waiting for a stamp from other person that yes, you are a very nice person? We are not waiting for anyone to give any stamp. We are waiting only one stamp from one personality. Yes? We are waiting for Krishna to give a stamp, yes, you are a very nice devotee. You are waiting for that stamp. We are not waiting for any other person here now saying to give a stamp. Oh, you look very nice in Dhoti Kurta. Oh, Tilak is so nice. The antenna behind, I think you should put gel and make it straight. We are not here to take any stamp from anyone. This one important aspect of understand that I am here to transform myself, break the cycle of birth and death, and go back home back to Godhead. I am not here to settle in this world and prove to people that I am something. If people are saying that you are nothing, yeah, I am nothing. You are zero, I am zero. Yes. I am a zero, but I have got a one in front of me, that is Krishna. Yes. You are calling yourself zero. You might have many, many zeros. So what is the use of those zeros without one? Yes. So in this way, one important aspect of understanding is we are not here to prove anyone. We are here to prove to Krishna that I am a sincere devotee of yours. And I want to practice devotional service sincerely and seriously. And I want to serve you, Lord. From so many lifetimes I have been doing time pass. So many lifetimes. At least this lifetime, please allow me to perfect my life and break the cycle of birth. I don't want to do time pass, at least in this lifetime. If this is the mood, then you know, it's very amazing. We are not here to prove anyone. And when it comes to competing with them, we cannot compete with them. They're so degraded. How much low level you can come? Yes? They're so degraded. Now, we are somewhere, you know, practicing bhakti, living a holistic life. And their degraded life is the way they talk, their eating habits, their other intoxication habits. You cannot compete with all that. Even in the office you see, all the ones who are doing in a team lunch and team dinner. Yes. So this was, immediately after the training that we got in our company, the entire team was taken out to a place, I forgot the name of the place. It was a nice place. My friends were describing, I didn't go. So there, they were telling that, they were very angry. I said, how was the place? How was it? Very nice place. But they were very, very angry. I said, why are you angry? Then they started telling me. This HR, I don't know what's wrong with him. He didn't allow even one bottle of beer. Completely restricted. How can he do that? Why didn't they take us for outing? And looking at them and wondering, how are you? Yes, this is a degraded level. So, in such a world we are living in, how can we compete with such people? Yes, how can we compete? Anything moving, flying, people catch and eat. Yes, how can we compete with such people? So, there is no question of competing with anyone. We are not here to compete with anyone. We are here just to serve Krishna and tell Krishna that you are a servant. Yes, we don't want to be master of anyone. So, this has to be clear. Firstly, the first thing that has to be clear is that I am here to practice bhakti and in this very lifetime attain Krishna. This has to be clear. Second, what I am doing is absolutely authentic and bona fide because it is coming from a bona fide source. Yes, you see Prabhupada's life that we are discussing. That how bona fide this personality is right from the childhood. So what we are following is bona fide. And third thing that has to be clear is, I am following this not to prove it to anyone, but I am following this to transform my heart and break the cycle of birth. Yes. So these three things should be clear to all of us. Yes? And see, when we come together like this very often, then we will not feel that we are alien. No, we will say, okay, what's an alien here, together. If you are alone staying somewhere in some corner of this place, in some PG, obviously you will feel. So we say that we have to stay together. That's very, very important. No, we have to stay together. Yes? Sandeep Prabhu is shifting to base. So Sandeep Prabhu, when?
Tomorrow.
So for your information, we have something called as BASE. BASE means Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education. Or in lame terms, you can call it as ISKCON Hostel, where devotees stay together all the working boys stay together, even students can stay together. And there's a schedule from morning till evening, no watcher. Not morning till evening, morning basically. Yes, where we get up early in the morning, then do meditation, that is japa, and then we have a class also. And then you can imagine everyone is chanting automatically, you know. You feel ashamed if you don't take a breeze. Yes, so automatically the breeze will be there and we start chanting. And finishing rounds is very, very easy in devotee association. Very, very easy. And then everyone is reading scriptures, so we will also be inspired to read. Basically, we need an association. So this is a platform which we are providing, where we all boys can come together and practice bhakti. And when there's a strong association like this, then it's very, very easy to practice. Where you see, everyone is getting up early, so let me get up early. Everyone is sleeping early, let me sleep early. Whereas completely opposite when it comes to your respective PGs. Yes? Everyone is sleeping late, why should I sleep early? When everyone is getting up late, if I get up early, what will I do? There's no goal, right? Most of you who are not getting up early, there's no goal to get up. What will I do getting up? Yes? So now when you have a goal, okay, I have to get up, attend Mundaratri at 4:30 and do meditation from 5 to 7, attend a class. Yes, so all this, you know, motivation helps us to get up early. And then when you see that people of same age are practicing together, it gives so much of motivation and enthusiasm. So although obviously not everyone can join this, there are some criteria which we can discuss personally. Yes. So there are some interviews that I say, if you pass, then you're allowed. So we can, you know, we can have this particular thing. All those who are interested can really aspire to stay together. Yes. So why this point came, by the way? When you stay together, then this problem will not be there of complex, inferiority complex from materials. Any other question or reflection?
Why don't you think of Krishna like it is a religion?
I think we can stop the life.